Don't be shy.
Wait till you hear until the dark recesses of my mind.
Uh-oh. This is the Fakeologist speaking. It's January the 4th, 2022, 8:19 in the p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can see on my screen, I've got the Discord up. What is the Discord? It's fake11.com/Discord. And this is where people from anywhere and everywhere can join in and talk to each other, the Fakeologist community, for free. And tonight, I just barged into a meeting of the ladies. We had Linda Curtis, Peaches and Purple Play. And I wanted to show you the Discord screen and how easy it is to talk to fantastic fakeologists. And Peaches from Texas dropped in, and she promised she'd talk. So I said, let's just talk a bit. Peaches, welcome to the Discord and Fakeologist server and website and family and all that.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for welcoming me here.
And was it easy to get on to the Fakeologist Discord?
I think so. I just ended up here. My friend Purple and my friend Linda kind of lured me in here, and here I am. And I'm talking to Fakeologist, who is like, if I were a Beatles fan, which I'm not because I think they're totally fake. But if I were a Beatles fan, then maybe, and I hate Paul McCartney. But say if I were a Beatles fan and I were a Paul McCartney fan, I'd be screaming because I'm like, oh my God, I'm talking to Paul.
Yeah, that's so kind of you. I like the Beatles. I don't even care if they're a manufactured band. There were so many good songs that somebody wrote and somebody sang. I have no problem with Beatles. I went through Beatles replaying their stuff for, I would say, months, and that was back in the 80s. So they would have only been 10 to 15 years old. That's not too far back to go in the 80s to replay them. I'd heard of them, but...
You know, if I started a game show, like blindfolded game show, earfolded, well, that wouldn't work. Blindfolded game show, is it Beatles or Monkees? Do you think that you'd be able to guess a tune? Because is there a difference between the Beatles and the Monkees, really?
Yeah, I realize. And I can't even remember who wrote the Monkees music. A few people did. Maybe Neil Diamond.
Same guy that wrote the Beatles.
Well, didn't Neil Diamond allegedly write some monkey stuff? Yeah.
I said.
Right. You sound like you're about the same age as myself.
I'm like 50-ish.
Yeah, I'm 54. 54, 55 in 2022. How scary is that?
I don't want to give away my age, but I'm close to your age, plus or minus 12 months.
Okay, boy, let me do some math here. You're about the same age. Okay, well, that's cool. Well, you know, so you've been around. You understand. How long have you been a media fakery analyst?
Fakery analyst. I'm sort of a person that picks up on patterns on, I don't know if I can swear on this.
Yeah, you can. F, yeah.
Okay.
But
bullshit patterns.
Yeah. Bullshit's not a swear word.
Never have made sense to me, and it's been my entire life. But I kind of went along with it because, you know, it's like, I'm just little old me, and everybody else says, yeah, this is what happened. And I never had the confidence in saying, you know, no, this can't have been what happened. But so it was about 5 years ago that I had the time because I got laid off from my job. I used to sell furniture. I sold one less freaking couch. Had I sold that couch, that sofa,
Were you at a place where they cut the person at the bottom of the sales chart?
Yep.
Oh, that's,
and I was that.
That's so cruel, isn't it? I always thought that was
the least
real...
motivated. I was like,
"That's such a cruel way to do sales management, isn't it? You cut the bottom salesman every month. Is it every month or?"
Well, you have to sell like $40,000 worth of furniture, right? Mm. And you were always supposed to upsell. You're supposed to sell them on, oh, you have to have this guardian plan. You have you know, it's an extra 250. And where I worked, there were a lot of senior citizens. And they tell you straight out, look, I'm going to be dead in 5 years, lady. I don't need your plan. And they would bring in special people to say, how do you encounter this? We understand you're having a problem with these senior citizens. They say they're going to be dead in 5 years and they don't need your extra.
And actually, that extra coating they put on the couch, it'll probably kill you in 4 years, the toxins that come off.
Exactly. I was like, hey, dude, don't worry. You'll be dead in three. Just pay me this. But they paid you extra, extra, extra if you sold these plans, yeah, which should have rung off alarm. I just felt bad about it because I'm dealing with 80. I'm originally from San Antonio, and that's a big military city, and you're dealing with a lot of retired military. And they're like, fork, I don't need this shit, you know. I don't need your, you know, extra. I'll just Scotch guard it, and I'm probably going to pee on the sofa at some point anyway. So they just come right and tell you that they're going to die before the plan runs out, and they're not going to spend the money.
People actually said that? Is that what Texans do? They're just straight up? Really? That's so direct.
You know what? I think this is for people that are like 75 plus, and I love them to death for their honesty. They just say, you know, we were given this spiel. We had to go through this stupid role-playing. And by the way, it's not that I'm a salesperson, but I love interior design. I love helping people. I truly do help people design their homes, design their living rooms that make them happy. So that's why I got into that business. I'm an interior designer, but you have to also sell this extra shit. This guardian plan, this spray, this,
because there's a 1,000% markup and profit on all that, extra spray.
Exactly. As well as mattresses. That's why they push mattresses on you. It's ridiculous. They can make a mattress in 40 minutes at Serta. I've seen it done. They can make a $3,000 mattress in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And the markup is huge. That's why they push mattresses. But I was an interior designer, and I really wanted to help people. You know, people want to make beautiful homes, and I wanted to help them do that. But that doesn't mean the most expensive stuff. And when you're dealing with, say, a retirement community in San Antonio, older people, they come right out and say, look, lady, this is a five-year protection plan. I'm 80 years old.
So you got laid off from your furniture job, and then you started looking into media fakery, or what did you start? What did you start?
Well, I had time. I got laid off, and at the same time, my relationship ended, right?
Right.
So I had time on my hands, and I was depressed, and I had nothing to do but, you know, look into YouTube videos, and I pushed on one of YouTube videos, like, I was very depressed, like, don't watch this video unless you want your world to, like, totally, implode. Being masochistic, like, I'm like, whatever, come on, throw it at me. And I did that, and it was like basically all the conspiracies, all of them, you know, that you could imagine were sort of pulled into 1.5-hour segment. I was like, what in the hell? And that started me that started the process. So,
do you know what video that was? 2015. Was it one video or many videos? Was it Alex Jones?
That was the first video, and I swear to God, no, it wasn't. It wasn't Alex Jones, because it was not. I didn't like him. I didn't know much about him, but I just knew he screamed a lot and looked like he was about to have a heart attack, and that was the turn off to me. So this was someone who I think has been taken down.
I think the ladies are really. Don't watch this. I think the ladies are really turned off by Alex, aren't they? They don't like that screaming, yelling.
I've been back and forth. You know, I don't really know right now. I can't tell you. I can't tell you where I think he fits. I kind of think he's, I don't know. But for several years, I had argued that Alex Jones had turned off more people than he turned on because of his demeanor. Because it's really always, I have four sisters. It's hard for me to say. I would not have been able to share his videos with my sisters or with female friends and say, hey, look what he has to say. You're like, you're nuts. This guy's crazy.
Yeah, I got that right away too. I got that too.
Yes, my thought was that his purpose was to make you, to make a lot of people just say, oh, this is nuts, because of his demeanor. I don't know if that's true or not.
I like it. No, I got that right away, actually. I referred him to somebody I liked. And they right away went to the internet and found a debunking video against Alex Jones. They said, well, you're not really doing good research because I just found out that Alex Jones is this and Alex Jones is that. But yeah, I guess the immediate reaction, especially for females, is this guy's crazy and he's yelling and screaming.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, I'll tell you my strength is that I can kind of, I have my opinions, but then when I have an opinion, what I do is I try to think of what the opposite opinion to my opinion would be. And the opposite opinion to my opinion would be, this guy, Alex Jones, has been in this business for 20 years and he's been uncovering stuff and he's fed up. And that's why he's so over the top. I would be a raving lunatic if I had been in this business for 25 years. And again, I'm not plugging Alex Jones. I don't know. Maybe he's a plant. I don't know.
Well, at least you're aware of that. A lot of people that follow Truth aren't even aware that there are controlled opposition Pied Pipers that lead us on. And now, more than ever, we really need to understand how psychological operations work because we're in the biggest psyop in the history of the world right now.
We are. And it's honestly, the people that are running it, they're a lot, well, I'll say for myself, they're a lot smarter than me. This is what they've learned and done for a living for decades and maybe for centuries.
Yeah.
I'm just a normal person. And sometimes I just feel like a little, I don't know.
Little pea.
Penguin or muskrat just trying to look up, or fish, goldfish, trying to understand what's happening outside the bowl.
Yeah, and you're smart to do that. So where else did you go looking for truth? And what's your favorite topic to research?
Lately, the thing about this truther community is that people will shut you down if you're looking into something and not. And so hopefully people won't shut me down. But I did find Miles Mathis.
Yes.
Really interesting.
He's brilliant. Yeah.
I find him fascinating.
Yes, me too. Me too. He's near the top. He's near the top of the food chain.
I'm glad that you, because I can't, anyone else I read, because it is extreme. He's basically saying everything is a lie. But you know what? I'll tell you what grabbed me on. Since I was a child, I remember asking third grade, hey, what would make someone from Mississippi march to Gettysburg for a war when it, you know, they're trying to stay alive in the frontier and they're fighting for what again? Why would anybody on either side fight for either slavery or secession? They wouldn't care. They're trying to get by. I wouldn't. I'd be a deserter, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would fight for whatever they came up with.
Yeah, what bring that? I guess some big bribes or some promises of riches, because why else would you go risk your life and potentially get your head blown off in a faraway state aiming at someone you didn't know? It's really incongruous for sure.
I remember going to Gettysburg. I don't know if you've ever been to – have you been to Gettysburg?
Probably 40 years ago when I barely knew where I was.
Well, oh, my God. It is like the most mountainous up – and it is the most dramatically mountainous up and down dramatic landscape you can imagine. Gettysburg. I'm thinking of Harper's Ferry. I can go over. Harper's Ferry is supposedly a big war ground. There's no way in hell people marched up and down. I went there because I lived in Northern Virginia. I was thinking, how in the hell? I am exhausted just trying to walk a half a mile to the cafe to get a hot dog. And yet 150 people, 100 years ago, people were marching up this way to fight.
Well, they didn't eat, they probably didn't eat hot dogs back then, so they're probably in better shape, no?
I know. For nothing.
Yeah.
And for why would they fight, if you were a Southerner, why would you fight for a rich plantation owner to have free labor when you were offering your labor? Why would you do that? If you were a Northerner, why would you come down several states to fight? It just none
in other words, sense. Maybe the Civil War wasn't about that. Maybe it was about something else.
Maybe it never happened. Maybe there were a few skirmishes.
Mm-hmm. So that the first thing you started questioning is the Civil War and what you were told on that? Because I don't usually get that from too many truthers, but that's interesting.
Well, you know, I never called myself a truther, but when in the third grade, I remember raising my hand and asking, why would somebody, like you're talking...
It's a great question.
Thinking.
Yeah. How many third graders would ask that? So what you're telling me is very, very early on, you were questioning the official story and you probably got shot down for that.
I did. I was told to basically shut up and not to ask any more questions. And I'm thinking, and this was in the 70s, and I'm thinking, it doesn't make any sense. You know? Because people in those days were struggling anyway, and in the who would do this? Because it just didn't make sense to me that, you know, the stories of people that are marching from Mississippi or Alabama, South Carolina, that are marching and marching and marching in lines, and the textbooks that we were given, there's a flag. Somebody's carrying the flag. For what? You're there. You know what? You might be a new arrival from Scotland or Ireland or wherever. You're trying to keep your family alive. Why the hell are you going to be doing that? Your first obligation is to your family, not to some rich plantation owner. And not to some, you know, Abraham Lincoln that wants to keep the states together. For what? You just want to be free and try to make a life. That's why you came here. None of it made sense to me. And yeah, I was told to be quiet and just draw a picture of a battle scene people charging at each other. They've been marching 1,000 miles, which made no sense.
But did you keep asking questions after grade three, or did they shut you right down?
They shut me down, and honestly, because I was a military kid and we moved like every 2 years. I was always a new kid. So I never, there was 1 year in the third grade that it was at least my second year that I had the courage to raise my hand and say, why would they march? You know, this was like after, like, say my, I hope I'm not boring anybody out
no,
there.
No, this is good.
So during a spring break, we were stationed in New York, in Newburgh, New York, which was Stewart Air Force Base. And we drove from Stewart Air Force Base to my dad's hometown of San Antonio. And it took several days. And it was in a station wagon that had no air conditioning. Mm-hmm. And we came back to listen to this. And I was like, what the hell? We just drove for weeks. You know, there and back to visit. And you're trying to tell me that people that had terrible shoes and not really good uniforms and no access to water and no Holiday Inns or Ramada Inns walked and marched together for what again? They wouldn't have cared. They frankly would not have cared about the plight of Black people and they in the South, because they were in horrible straits. They were lucky not to be getting, you know, their own homesteads burned down.
No,
and
I
in
agree.
The North, they wouldn't have cared. Both sides would not have cared. They would have been like, no, I got to keep my family alive. And the person that comes around and tries to say, look, you're all coming to this war. We're having a war. You're all coming or you're going to be arrested. You know what? I'd arrange a posse and those people would be strung up because we're just trying to survive out here. That's what made sense to me in the third grade. But then we moved. My dad was Army. We moved to Germany and moved again and again and again and again. So, yeah.
Well, so you went overseas as well. Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, Europe and Central America and all these places. And it just, I just thought of the logistics of things, of wars, because my dad was Army. I never lived in a house. We always lived in quarters. Uh-huh. Never lived in a house. I lived in an apartment until I moved out in an apartment at 19. Before that, I didn't live like a normal American. And so
wow.
I just thought of these kinds of things.
You know, as a skeptical person, when you got to Germany and Central America, did you follow the media at that time at all as a young person? Did you see what you're being told and what you saw on the ground to be different?
I'll tell you what. So 5 years before we, you know, air quotes, invaded Panama,
right,
or 4 years before, and took out the big dictator, Noriega,
right,
which George Bush was best friends with. The airport was named Noriega. So I was a high school student. I went to three different high schools in Alabama, in Panama, Balboa High School, and then in Texas. But so I got to see a lot of different things. But 4 years before we supposedly liberated Noriega from this horrible dictator, Noriega, it was awesome. I lived in Panama in, let me see, 83, 84, and it was fantastic. It was safe. We went to the beaches. We all had licenses, like from 15 up. We could drink and go to bars. It was safe. I mean, we weren't, as females, we weren't, it wasn't as dangerous as the U.S. But when I got back, you know, my father's tour of the year ended and we came to the States, it was like, oh my God, Panama is a dictatorship. It's like, what? No, it's awesome. It's fantastic. You can do whatever you're so free as a teenager. If it was that bad, why did they allow? There were like, I think, six military bases in Panama. There were three on the Pacific side and three on the Atlantic side. We were in Fort Clayton. There was Fort Clayton. There was Howard Air Force Base. There was a Marine Base. And we were on the Pacific side, on the Atlantic side. There were three others. It was an awesome place to live. And if you were a teenager, if you were in high school, you were treated like an adult and you could go do anything that you wanted in Panama and you felt safe. And as a female, you felt safe. And then 4 years later, we come back to the States and we learn that, oh my God, this is a terrible dictatorship. Noriega's horrible. Really? And Americans bought it.
Were you near, I guess you were near the canal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Everything was.
The most important part of Panama is the canal.
Yeah. Of course.
And I don't know a lot about Panama, but I do believe that it was part of Colombia, and I don't know how it became a separate entity, but I'm guessing it was because of the canal. They wanted to make sure that they could control this super important piece of geography.
Yeah, I think that was during Teddy Roosevelt, I think it was like 1890s or something like that, Panama became a separate country.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a 99-year lease signed.
Right.
However, Panama, because of the huge military presence, you know, whatever. My dad was not special forces. There were some special forces activities going on. I don't know what they were about. But because, like, I went to a high school called Balboa High School, and at that high school, it was the best high school that I went to, and I went to high school
in Panama?
Two high schools in the U.S. Yeah, I went to high school in Panama called Balboa High School. It shut down in the 90s. But you had to have, like, I think a master's degree to teach there, and it had been there for 100 years. There's, like, in Panama, you had the military brats, you had Zonians, which were basically Americans who were, you had Zonians, which were basically Americans that had been, had families that had been there for a few generations, actually.
They're called Zonians?
Americans that had,
as in Panama
they were
Zone?
Called Zonians.
Right.
Yeah.
The canal zone. As in canal zones. Yeah.
Right. So, and if you met Zonians, they're like, Very much like, remember that Fast Times at Ridgemont High? It was, they were that type of surfer, type of the way they talked. They were like that. They wore shorts and flip-flops to schools and stuff like that. The Arizonians, and then there were the internationals, because Panama had a huge banking, international banking community. So you had very, very wealthy people that spent a lot of money sending their children from Asia, from wherever, to this Balboa High School. Three different groups, the Zonians, military kids, and then the internationals. Mm-hmm. We were all there together, and everyone got along great. No problems. 4 years later, oh my God, there's a dictator. We got to take him out. We got to, you know, they burned down a neighborhood called Coronado, where I knew people that lived, and there was no problem here.
That's very interesting. I just brought up Balboa Academy Middle School. I don't know if it's the same one. It's right on the canal in Panama City. Does that sound right?
Well, I went to Balboa High School, which no longer exists. They stopped that, I think.
But I'm thinking maybe they changed the name to Balboa Academy Middle School. So maybe it's in the same area.
Might be.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yes, exactly. It's Balboa, Panama, and it's a beautiful area. The country of all the assignments that we had, and we had many assignments in Europe, mainly in Germany, several in various states in the U.S., Panama was the best assignment. It really was. And if you had a family, and if you had, like, again, I'm one of five sisters, mm-hmm. and you wanted to feel like you were in a safe place where your kids could roam, and just honestly, they let us do anything. We drove from one side to the other with no problem whatsoever. As a teenager, I was never so free as living in Panama, and never felt so safe as a 16-year-old girl. And then within 4 years, suddenly it's a nation we have to attack.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and they burned down neighborhoods.
What do you, did you ever look into it as a truther, as someone who looks into truth to get the other side of the story? As to why it might have happened, I really haven't thought too much about the whole Panama Noriega. But you know that the official story's got to be wrong.
It's definitely wrong. But what's weird was that when I came back to it was in the middle of my senior year, like in 85, that I came back to the States.
Okay.
And then within a couple of years is when there was the invasion. To me, the idea that they called it the invasion of Panama, when I already knew that there were like 50,000 troops and a ton of families and a ton of Zonians, which were basically Americans. Americans colonized Panama. Uh-huh. They lived as Americans. And Americans and Panamanians lived side by side. And Panama was a prosperous country. So it was just bizarre to hear the Dan Rather and the U.S. media saying, there's a dictator. They come up with this shit. There's a dictator in Panama, and we've got to save it. He's like, you're not liberating shit. As a 16-year-old, was never so free in my life as when I was in Panama. And the other, it was a wonderful experience. But within a few short years, Noriega, I believe, at the time, because I was a teenager, and, you know, teenage girls, you know, you're interested in boys and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking too deeply into stuff like that. It's only been later on in my adult years that I was like, what in the hell happened there? Why did they do that?
Right.
Really? And obviously something went wrong between Noriega and
somebody wasn't doing as they're told. They might have thought they had a little too much power. Or they might have actually been in charge of a country when they're really not. And maybe that's when they just say, it's time to move out. We need another yes man as soon as possible. It says here that was the largest military action by the United States since the Vietnam War, and included more than 27,000 soldiers. You're saying there was 50,000 soldiers already in Panama?
Okay, that's guessing. That is guessing from my time there.
Yeah.
When we moved to Panama, like in 83... Mm-hmm. That's the number that we were given, 40,000 to 50,000 people. And that is like three or four bases on the Pacific side, on the Atlantic side, and three bases on the Atlantic, on the Pacific side. We were on the Pacific side. There was Fort Clayton, like I said, Howard, and there was a Marine base called, I can't remember the name of it. It was really nice. I may be exaggerating the numbers. That's just what I remember. I just remember the, so when you're in the military, if you're a military family, you go through and you go to new countries, you go through these processes called orientation, mm-hmm. which are a few days long, or host nation. And we went through our host nation orientation process as a family, lots of families, all families in one sort of auditorium. And they say, oh, you'll be happy to know that there's never been a rape in Panama ever. Stuff like that. I mean, that's an obviously there's been a rape. But that how safe it is, and the, I'm just saying that it was a great family place, and there were tons of families. The exact number, I don't know. I will say there were a shitload of Americans there. And then suddenly it was invaded.
So it looks like the forts are all in the areas where the canals are. So they put the forts in all the strategic places to guard the canals, which are the more important parts of the whole seaway that they created. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, it's all around the isthmus, isthmus of the canal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Fort Cobby.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting history. So what? Tell me about
during.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So I'm just saying there's a huge U.S. military presence, and not just U.S. military presence, but the Zonian presence, because the canal was run by Americans that were Zonians that now they live in the, you know, like for Balboa High School, the reunions are usually in Florida now because they can't be in Balboa. But these are people that. Their parents were born and raised, but they're Americans. It was an American colony that we invaded. That's all I'm saying. I don't know the numbers because they keep changing, but I'm saying that, again, if I had to estimate, a shitload of Americans were already there.
Interesting.
Sorry for my French.
It's fine. I know French. Okay. So that was your last station as a military brat. And after that, you probably moved on from your family. What about Germany? Were you too young to know what was going on in Germany, or do you have any ideas about the U.S. and Germany and what's going on there?
No, we had at one point, we had like 30 bases in Germany. I spent maybe 9 to 10 years, before I was 14 in Germany. Non-consecutive. We lived in Wiesbaden, Frankfurt, Gießen. That's where Elvis was from. Elvis, like you.
I'm no Elvis. Where was Elvis from? Did you say Germany?
He was stationed in Gießen. It's a small place in Gießen. It's near Frankfurt.
Right.
Elvis was stationed there. So my father was as well. That's my connection to greatness there.
You think Elvis actually went over there?
Who the hell knows? He was stationed there, supposedly. I mean, if you're saying he didn't go over,
I have no idea. I'm just assuming that everything we're told is BS. So the chances of Elvis doing anything other than maybe singing a few songs over there are pretty low.
Well, I mean, I think his wife, Priscilla, she was the daughter of a military person.
Right.
I know they tell a lot of lies, but I think this wouldn't be a lie worth telling. They may as well just send him there, hook him up with Priscilla. I don't know. But officially, the record is that he was stationed there. That's the only thing that put Gießen on the map in military terms. Because I was there in sixth grade, and I went to school in a quantum hut, Gomer pile, can. That was my sixth grade school. Then we moved to Wiesbaden, not far from Frankfurt. And then I was also in Nuremberg and Frankfurt. So all these places are in Bavaria, and I was a total of 9 years there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Bavaria is an important part of Germany, I think. It really has a ton of history, and I believe there's There must be some. I don't know Germany very well. You probably know way more than me. But for some reason, Bavaria seems to be an important. Is it a state in Germany? Is that what they call it?
Well, I guess I don't know if you could call it a state. Certainly a region, maybe a state, but for the forces, like, so the British forces were primarily in the north of Germany. This was back when there was a West Germany.
Right.
And not big, like before they, you know, so we were in West Germany, and at that time the capital of West Germany was Bonn, B-O-N in Germany.
Yeah.
Bavaria, Munich is in Bavaria. Bavaria is the most beautiful part of Germany. It borders Austria.
Yes.
It is like the fairy tales. And that's where actually all the fairy tales come from. The Black Forest is in Bavaria. It is stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Nuremberg is at the top. Würzburg, Bamberg, Munich is at the bottom. Is Munich the capital probably of Bavaria?
I'm not sure, but it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous place. It's like a fairy tale. It's like you walked into a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to those places.
What did you learn? What did you learn over there?
You know, I learned that. So I went there. We had four non-consecutive tours there, so that means that we were there for 2 years, came back, and then went back, and all such and forth. So my German's not great, but what did I learn there? They avoided World War II history. We were always taught host nation, and mainly host nation classes were basically, look, we know you're American and we know you think you're great, but shut the fuck up about it, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Other nations don't appreciate it.
How many I think I heard once that there's 70,000 American troops in Germany.
I'm sure. Yeah. At some point there has been.
It's such an occupied country. What are they afraid of with the Germans?
It absolutely has been. I don't know what I think the last figure that I saw was 50,000, but it has been roaming between 50 to say 80, 90,000 over the past 30 years, I'd say.
Why do Germans have to be under such strict control, I wonder?
Well, I don't think they bothered so much because while we were there, first of all, there were many times when we were not even allowed to leave the base. Plus, we had to take host nation classes, which taught us how to behave properly in German, when around Germans, which
right.
basically means just your damn mouth, okay, Yankee? Nobody wants to hear about it.
That's interesting.
So my father, because my mother was British, they make bases that are like small cities. So you have your bowling alley, you have your movie theater, you have your gym, and you have your swimming pool, tennis courts, basketball courts. What do you want? What do you need? Your football courts. You don't need to leave the base.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people didn't leave the base, but because my mother was British and she loved, my parents wanted us to experience Germany. So there are some Americans that go to Germany. Their parents they're stationed in Germany and they don't leave the base. But there are a lot of Americans that, you know, they want to see some of Europe. So we did. I'll tell you what, we had a big American station wagon, no one ever had seen that.
Like
at
Chevy
that time.
Chase,
I can't tell you.
The family truckster.
Sorry?
Like Chevy Chase, the family truckster.
I mean, I don't know that. My father had a big Chevrolet station wagon.
Yeah.
When you have like a family of seven, five kids. And,
big.
They don't have that. And they don't even have roads. The number of times my father wanted to introduce us into a beautiful little town and the roads weren't wide enough, so we had to back up. We were like a circus act. I mean, people would be hanging out their windows watching us back out because our car wouldn't fit there. We also had our car egged. We had Yankee go home. you know, we'd go into, my dad would park the car and then we'd go into some little festival. We'd come back and see, Yankee Go Home and Paints and stuff like that, in the '70s and early '80s and stuff like that. So they weren't shy about saying they didn't want us there. So that was our experience. My dad would joke and say, oh, they're just joking around, because he didn't want his daughters to say, to think, yeah, you're not welcome here. But, yeah, that's the most I can say. And we had host nation, German teachers come in and just teach us about Germany. But what they would just teach us about would just be, say, the different castles in the Rhine and how this castle came up in different houses of that and that. The World War II was never discussed.
That's way too important to discuss with regular people. We don't want to tell you about what exactly happened, and we certainly don't want you dreaming of alternative stories. So, yeah, isn't that interesting? School is just to make sure that you don't know what the hell's going on. I'm pretty convinced about that. And even you as a military brat being in a military school, same thing, especially.
I think I can understand their point of view, and basically, yes, Germany has been occupied, but by being occupied, it has, and they have not been allowed to expand their military, right? So, because they have the American military, and the result is that they've become the most powerful European
industrial center. Because they're not blowing all their money on the military. Although the military is just an excuse to spend government money in the United States and build up big business that way. Oh, I lost you there. Did I do something to make the audio go bye-bye? 2212? Oh, it was going so well. What did I do differently? Peaches, can you hear me? 2212? Maybe she cut out. Her audio is kind of flaky. Let me bring you into another room. Let's try the fakeologist. I think I screwed up. I see. She just moved back. Let me move. I still haven't fixed the audio in the green room. Let me try the green room. She just keeps going back into room 11. Peaches, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think I cut out. Okay. You cut out. Okay, I cut out. Something happened.
You're a bit fading, so let me just try to turn you up.
It might have been my...
I'm not sure I have much to offer about Germany.
No, that was good. Yeah, I just wanted
occupied
a... Yeah, I wanted a cursory... I just wanted a cursory idea of what was happening there. Let's get back to your search for the truth. So you lost your job at the furniture store. You were one couch. Oh, rats. What's going on here? You're having a hell of a time here with the Discord. Peaches, go ahead. Can you hear me now? Frustrating.
Hello?
Yeah, did you move rooms? I moved you into the green room just to try another room.
I'm not sure what I did.
Okay, let's get back to your media.
I don't know what I did.
So you finished your job at the furniture place, and you started looking into truth.
Okay, so that gave me time. Okay, so that, and then my relationship ended. So that, you know, left me like lying around like a big walrus or slug.
Yeah.
Looking for things to make me even more miserable. So I came across a YouTube channel saying, don't watch this unless you really want your life destroyed. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Push the button. And it was a compendium of all the truth or conspiracies. Like, what in the hell? And that completely shattered my world. But there were things that I was always suspicious of. I was like, I knew it! anyway, that was like 2015. And that was the start of it. So, to many of you, I'm just really a novice.
Well, I actually started in 2012, so I only got a few years ahead on you. What was your favorite one that you looked into? Did you look into 9/11? How could you not?
Okay, the first one So the 9/11 thing didn't shock me because I always thought, I didn't know how they did it, but I always believed that the government either let it happen or made it happen.
Okay. Lie hop or my hop, even from the beginning, just based on your military career in history.
Yeah, I was just like, give me a effing break. We have, because I'm not a military expert, but I was raised in the military. I know how we are all over the damn world, and there's just no way that you can tell me that people being ordered around by a guy in a cave with box cutters did this. So I believe that there were bad people within the government that allowed it to happen.
Right.
I didn't, but I wasn't, I've been brought along into an extreme where I'm like, did anybody even die? I don't know. I don't know what they did. That's all I can say is I don't know.
That's good.
I just know what's fake and what that we've been lied to. That's
so
all
you
I
actually
can
got
say.
To the point where you don't even know if anyone died?
Yeah, I feel like someone had to have died because of the destruction, but I was listening to one of the contributors here, and it was JK from Human Vibration, and she was on a podcast, and she was saying that she went on the tribute, the for the 9/11 victims,
right.
And they each, when you have someone in your family pass away, you post something and people say, oh, well, I remember Jolie and da 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 da. And she went through the mall and she found no one making comments.
Yeah, there's huge holes in a lot of the memorials. And so many people found so many anomalies with the memorials and the way they were organized. And it looked like it was created with a database. And because of the database and the way the computer files were assembled back in 2001, it really looked like a military operation where they would get kind of lazy and cut and paste between the different stories and try and rush. They didn't put a ton of, because they had 3,000 victims, we call them, to simulate, it looks like whoever put it together, whatever group or operation or corporation, they got really kind of lazy with the cut and paste. And there were just too many similarities and repetitions and patterns that a guy named Hoy Polloi, one of the researchers, created the Victim Report, and he illustrated that. So it's
I'd love to know his name. I have kind of gotten into the gematria of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because they love their numbers, and I've learned to pick up on patterns. I've always picked up on patterns and numbers and things.
Uh-huh.
But,
yeah, I think it's valid.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that I think they would have no qualms whatsoever to kill 3,000, 10,000, 30,000 Americans, and not, I don't think they would care. But the problem with that is that then you're going to have the families of all these people that are not going to be satisfied with, oopsie, men in box cutters.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry.
I agree.
Our $1 trillion military couldn't respond. So
exactly.
They'd have to come up, to me, the only way to get around that is to, because if I were a family, I'd be like, hold on, no way in the hell. I don't give a shit about your memorial. You tell me, how did you fail? Because we're paying you for we're supposed to have the best military. We should have the best military in the world. We're paying you so damn much money.
Was your dad around when this happened?
And then you have that times 3,000 victims' families?
I agree with you 100%. Was your dad in the military or alive when this happened?
Yeah, my dad was Army. I told you. Mm-hmm.
So in 2001, I mean, what did he think at the time? You must have asked him.
Oh, let me think. You know, the thing is that when you're in, and I think this applies to older people as well. This is why, you know, during the pandemic, it's been so hard. Like, older people have lined up for the shots. They have signed into America, the greatest country on earth. There's no freaking way that the that they'd be lying to us and that we could be duped. And so I think it was the same thing with my father, and that I never had a discussion with my father about 9/11, but I don't recall him questioning it, but that would be because he was a good 30 years in the military plus 20 years civil service. He worked with good people. It only takes a very small fraction of people at the top to completely twist things. He only knew the good people, and it just would be beyond his imagination to think this, mm-hmm. you know? Right. So he won't, yeah. You just have to go along with, it's gotta be Arabs with box cutters. It can't be. The people that I've been working with my whole damn life are the evil ones. That's what I think.
No, that's a great observation. Does that mean you probably would never even brought it up with them?
I never discussed it with them, no.
Yeah. And people always wonder, well, why don't people talk? How can secrets be kept? Well, even you're proving that even families, they're not going to bring it up. So if families can't bring it up with each other, there's no way that kind of conversation is really going to whip around.
It's too painful. My father was in Korea. He was in Vietnam. He gave his life. He was drafted, but he gave his life to the military, and he believed in the government, and he knew that they made mistakes. But to say, yeah, your government attacked you.
Right.
And in his experience, he knew great people. The worst of them are at the top. And so that's just
how humans separate. Yeah. The psychopaths always rise to the top. Mm-hmm.
That's how they, you know, in a way, I think, man, you can tell me if I'm talking too much here.
You're doing great. This is a great call.
So, well, you can think about how different cows are bred for different reasons. Some cows are bred for leather, some for milk, some for whatever.
Beef.
Not a farmer, so
beef is good. Angus beef. Mm.
Yeah.
No vegan here.
So you think about breeding humans,
right?
You breed a different. You know, I think Americans were bred starting from around 1900. Before 1900, if you look at, I'm not sure that the American flag was waved around so much. I'm not sure that it was.
Yeah.
I think around 19, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance we weren't even doing that until sometime in the 1900s. So I think Americans for 100 years have been bred to be like ultra uber patriotic so that we could be the dogs of war. So that we could always believe we're the greatest. And in many ways, we have been the greatest. But
I agree with you. I did a post years ago and I called it the Great American PSYOP. I'm trying to find it now. And I think that
I'm losing you a little bit. I'm going to try to turn you up a little bit because I think you're about to say something important.
Yeah. Okay. I did a post a few years ago. I called it the Great American PSYOP. I'm trying to find it right now.
Yeah.
And what my point was at the time, what my thought was at the time, is they did exactly what you just said. They created this illusion of America the Great, and they purposely kept the rest of the world away from America. And they said, there's no need to look outside the borders of America because this is the greatest country in the world. And so Americans just never were exposed to the rest of the world, where, of course, it was the opposite for everyone else, including Canada. We knew everything about America because we got all the American media. But Americans were just kept in this very contained closet, told they're the greatest, there's no need to look outside. And I think the internet, when it came, yeah, I call it America is number one PSYOP. That's what I called it. America is number one PSYOP. And I wrote this. Let me bring this up because I'm trying to jog my old memory here. Because every now and then as I'm driving around, I have thoughts. And I wrote this when did I write this? Back in 2013. Wow. October 10th, 2013. Let me just see what I wrote, see if I'm any smarter now than I was then. Perhaps the most destructive PSYOP ever perpetrated on the American people is the American exceptionalism PSYOP. As someone on the outside looking in, I get mostly American media with a dose of Americanized Canadian media. It's this small dose of Canadian media that blows the whole myth of America is number one up. We know that America's media is controlled, but most Americans don't realize it. They think there is thriving competition. The internet has allowed some Americans to see outside the beehive, and most don't like what they see. They can now see things aren't so bad in other places in the world. In fact, they look pretty damn good, maybe even better. Do you think if a healthy percentage of Americans knew this list, that they'd be complacent with being told they're the best? Even if they know they're being lied to, how many would want to keep spending more than half of their money on the military? Are the fences around America to keep foreigners out of America, out, or Americans in? Time to check to see which way the top of the fence is leaning. So I made that post because there was an article called USA Number One, 40 Embarrassing Things That America is the Best in the World At. But I'm trying to say essentially what you're saying, I think. Does that resonate at all with you?
It does. And you did cut up a little bit, but I think I got the gist of what you're saying. I think that if we were able to time travel or... I don't think there's American isolation. Isolationism, sorry.
Yeah.
Was turned into a dirty word like during FDR. I was just reading through some FDR stuff, you know. Isolationist. Nothing freaking wrong with isolationist. They're just people that want to, you know, make their way, have their families, make a life. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think that we would be better off if we had stayed isolationist. But they couldn't let us do that because the cabal needed dogs of war. And I think that Americans have been used for dogs of war. And the patriotism stuff, and I am a patriot. I love my country. Sometimes I just get frustrated. But I think that we have been, and particularly over generations, bred to be extra patriotic so that we would be willing to go to wars that really have nothing to do with us. Do you know that in Vietnam, there's this myth that most of the people in Vietnam War were drafted. It's actually the opposite. Most of the people in World War II were drafted. Most of the people in Vietnam, where my father was drafted, well, he was drafted for the Cuban Missile Crisis and then drafted again. But most of the Vietnam guys were volunteer.
Okay.
You know, so you can make up that which you want. But where am I going with this? There has been this, just like a different, like, you know, we all love food, right? You like Italian food, you like Greek food, you like French food. We've been seasoned in such a way to be extra patriotic. And in the past 5 years, that's been under attack big time, which has been very painful to see. I think everybody should be patriotic. Every country has done great, has offered, well, most countries have offered good things for the world. And I think every country should be patriotic in a way that, you know, you look after your family and then your community and then your state and then your province or whatever.
Yeah.
That's how it should work for everyone. And then we'd have a better world. But I'm probably rambling at this point, but...
No, it's good. So 9/11, you know, let's get back to 9/11. Let's get back on track with PSYOPs and media hoaxes and whatnot. That's what we like to specialize in. You looked into 9/11, so you immediately understood that the original story is wrong, and you went as far as deciding that there's a good chance that nobody died, nobody got hurt the way we were told.
that nobody died. That's been the past month. People died. That's only because of JK from Human Vibrations. And she put up this thing that was just, you know, if my mind had been adventurous enough, I would have reached, maybe I would have gotten there, but she has an adventurous mind.
Yeah.
And I have in the past tried to get leases because I was in commercial. I was working in Washington, D.C. when that happened. And I was actually driving into my office of a major developer in Washington, D.C. on the morning of 9/11. I was driving down George Washington Parkway. And I wanted to hear music. And I kept hearing stations saying, playing us with the, you know, and I was like, pfft. The media always blows things out of proportion, so I kept changing it so I could listen to great music. So I worked for a developer, and it was just a very strange thing. We all sat there and we watched. When I got to work in Washington, D.C., we watched the towers come down, and then we went back to work. It was very strange. I can't say that anything was felt. That's the strangest thing about it.
Interesting.
And we also had a client that worked one of the leases that we had was a Sheraton hotel, which was across from the Pentagon, and those cameras that we had were confiscated.
Ah, wow.
But we still believed in our government.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, yeah, I was snowed because was raised to believe that I'm from the greatest country on earth. So I know that we're up to dirty shit, but it's just limits, you know. Your mind can only go so far. So it has taken me some years to get to the point where, like, oh my God.
Now, what do you, now, knowing what you know now about 9/11 and media fakery and psyops, what do you think now? What do you think everything up until your age now has added up to? Is your dad still alive, by the way?
No, my father passed away. Thankfully, he passed away December 15th, exactly 1 month before the first case of coronavirus happened.
Oh, okay.
In the U.S. Because otherwise, we would not have been able to see him. Yeah, he was in the military. I mean, so I'm just glad of that because I just really feel for all the people that lost their elderly loved ones and couldn't hold their hands while they left.
Mm.
My dad was gone.
2019.
A month before that, and all he wanted to do was hold our hands. That's all.
Oh, that's so cool. So what do you think now when you see all this information that everything is so fake, there's so much deception? After all, you've been conditioned.
It's very disorienting, especially being raised and amongst military people and people that I still believe we're good people, because I wasn't. It's just the upper echelons that have been screwing things around. Say, for example, we lived in Frankfurt, and supposedly under Frankfurt is the largest CIA underground base in the world. I've read that somewhere, and it wouldn't surprise me. One of my sisters was born there. In Frankfurt, but I know that the government, I've spent time studying the government, at least for the past few centuries, but it looks like at least by Woodrow Wilson, I think by Teddy Roosevelt, I think that he started that war with the Spanish-American War, was the beginning of what was meant to be American hegemony, and before that, Americans were happy to try to make a home, and we're just absolute. I have no problem with isolationist Americans,
yeah,
because that's what I would be. And you know, one of our founding fathers said, I don't remember which one. Trying to think, maybe it was Madison, that said, you know, we need to be careful that America does not become a nation that goes overseas seeking monsters to destroy. And that's exactly what we've become.
Mm-hmm. So So what do you think of all your newfound knowledge, though, of all this deception? Does it make everything seem like a waste? Yeah.
You know, well, again, all this started with me losing my job. If I had sold that one damn sofa, I guess in a way, sometimes I think, damn, had I sold that sofa, I'd be back in blue-pilled happy world.
Yeah.
I was short one sofa. And then I just started learning and researching things and learning things. And it's been a tough road because I don't know people in my normal life that would go on this road. But it's a hard road to take. I still love my country. I'm just frustrated with my countrymen.
Well, they're all hypnotized right now. When 3/11/2020 started, which we call the beginning of the coronavirus hoax,
right?
What did you think? What did you
3/11, think? 33, Freemasonry.
Oh, really? Really? We put all those numbers together right away?
Yeah.
Interesting. 3/11.
It's like, I knew it. There's just some numbers. You know, like, when did the Madrid bomb attack happen again? I'm going to guess 3/11 or 3/22.
Right.
3/22
maybe,
would be Skull and Bones or 3/11. And I'm going to guess 3/11 bombs. I did this once with someone, and he said, no, there were 10 bombs. And then it turned out, no, there were 11 bombs, but one didn't go off. It's like when you start learning their patterns.
Well, they love to encode their stories. Their stories. Yeah, 3/11/2004 was the Madrid bombing. 193 people died and 2,000 were injured. That's the official story.
How many? How many?
It says 193 people were killed and around 2,000 were injured. I guess they can't.
93.
Yeah.
Cult of 93.
Yeah.
Cult of 93. You might know, is the Thelema cult.
Right, Thelema, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, people are all focused on 666. They don't give a shit about 666 anymore. It's 93. It's 201. It's 119911.
Right.
So I don't want to be, there are some people that have taken this gematria and they have abused it and they've confused everyone and they've turned it into a circus.
Mm-hmm.
I won't name names.
Right.
But there's definite patterns there. You have to just be discriminating. And
do you think some of the people that promote gematria to the extreme are just trying to mask the central numbers that they like to mock us with? Oh, I see what you're saying.
Sure.
Oh,
I would say -48. If you're listening, you're full of shit.
Well, there's a lot of gematria people. There's a lot of gematria commentators around. For sure.
Well, there are, and it's easy to say, oh, this, and that, and that's a triangle, and that, but you have to just be very discerning about it. That's all. It's easy to try to connect anything to anything. Sometimes a banana is just a banana. But
yes,
there are just certain things that,
yeah,
you know.
Let's not go crazy about boiling everything down into a million different types of gematria, where you have this gematria, that gematria, and if you do this one and turn it on its head, it equals that one. It turns into a number salad. That what are you going to do with it? You can't do anything with it.
It starts getting so ridiculous. Like, there's this one guy, and he seems well-meaning enough, but he's saying, okay, well, we'll grab 174. And 174, and I looked up where Princess Diana was buried, and she was buried in a circular pond, and circular is 174. And it's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's too much. It's too much.
Yeah,
stop it. Yeah. Stop it already. Exactly. Who has time for this? It's getting us nowhere as well.
There are, you know, they do use, there is importance in symbology and numbers and stuff like that. But it's also, there's a lot of people that, some of them are well-meaning and they just don't know. And they're just losing their minds and they're trying to connect everything. And some of them are not well-meaning and they're just out there, like, trying to confuse everyone.
Yes. It's a poisoning of the well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. This has been a really interesting talk. So, what do you think is happening with COVID? Because it is, of course, the biggest sci-fi in the history of the world, I dare say. It's never before. We had the entire world from the smallest, deepest, darkest corner of anywhere to the top of the mountain, say, in America. What do you think is happening? What do you see? Are you researching it actively, or do you stay away from that?
Yeah. No, I have researched it, but then it's like I'm at COVID fatigue. I think, okay, so I know there are a lot of people that believe that pretty much everybody's in on it, including Donald Trump. But I do believe that there are white hats that are behind. I mean, we've got a ton of black hats, and I do believe that we have white hats. Within a week or 2 weeks after COVID was declared in the U.S., Donald Trump, and I understand a lot of your listeners don't like him, said that he was going to send the Blue Angels over every American city, and he did that. Actually, I have a photo somewhere in my thousands of photos. I flew over right over my house, like 6 jets. And we know about chemtrails. If people believe in chemtrails, yes, they can spray us just like they can spray anybody with good things or bad things. Okay. Every major city, Donald Trump sent the Blue Angels over every major city in the U.S. for a few weeks, and went on for a few weeks to offer some sort of uplifting. But I think it was sort of, I think that some sort of disinfectant or whatever or antidote might have been sprayed against what was coming. That's what I believe. And people can say, oh, that's a load of crap. But I can think of there's really no other reason than for this to have happened at the time that it happened. There was no other reason, and they were spraying something.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not big into spraying. Where did they spray this thing that you said?
Over pretty much every American city. It happened in March and April, and if you like, look in the news, you can kind of see where he said, oh, we're going to just cheer everybody up and we're going to spray everything. He didn't say we're going to spray everything, but we're going to just show the Blue Angels. But they're able to, just like you're in any environment, like if you have if you were keeping lizards or salamanders or whatever, you could control their environment by what you put in the air. In the same way, they control the environment by what they put in the air. I think that the COVID thing is something that was attempted to, that was maybe put in the water or the air. That this is just a theory of mine. I don't know. I don't have any.
Well, it's definitely put in the mind, but I'm not sure there's enough physical material to put it in the air or the water, other than maybe.
I think there was an attempt to, and I think that it was thwarted.
Yeah.
And I just think that the science behind it is beyond what I know. It's just what I feel. Because when you have Fauci and Burks going in front of the American public saying 2 to 3 million people will die by the end of the year, why would they do that and make themselves look like total asses by the end of the year, if two or 3 million people weren't dead? And the people that were dead, it had to be just a regular death that they had to code as COVID. They were expecting something to happen, something to be unleashed to kill 2 to 3 million Americans. That's just Americans.
Yeah. Well, the problem is I don't think any extra Americans died during any of the period up until recently
didn't.
When they started injecting people. That's when
exactly.
I think the numbers are starting to shoot right up. So
it didn't. And right. That's just what I'm saying. I think that the intention was, and that Fauci and Burks believed everything was covered, that they would be able to kill that many people. I believe that they thought that would happen.
What about the rest of the world, though? Because this is a worldwide PSYOP.
Sorry?
This is a worldwide PSYOP. What about the rest of the world? I know Americans are still very introverted or inward-looking in their view, but this is a worldwide PSYOP. So how do you account? Right. Do you think Canadian cities were sprayed in the same way?
No. Well, I think what was meant to be, what to happen, and because I have relatives in Canada and a ton of relatives in British, because I'm half British.
Right.
For the first 6 months, it was a lot of mockery of Trump and America and how we couldn't handle this and how we were going down. And it was our fault because we elected him. For the first 6 months, it was almost an American thing. I think the plan was that you're going to take down Trump, you're going to take down America, and then America's going to take down the whole world, and America will never be forgiven because they let this happen. And then so I think that America was the first that was meant to completely go down. And I think they honestly did think they'd get two to three million deaths. And then they would start bringing other people down.
Yeah, I really think it is.
Ever look at America positively again.
China. From the outside in, I would say definitely at the beginning, I thought this was definitely to break America. America is the hardest nut in the case to crack, for sure. I thought the other countries like Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand, they're probably the easiest because they're more homogenous, they're more obedient and subservient type people. Where America's, even if it's not true, they always have the appearance of being more rebellious and just more fractured. And the main thing is more decentralized than any other country. So it would definitely be the hardest because the federal government, for all it tries and all the institutions it unconstitutionally creates, like the Department of Homeland Security and all the other departments, it's still very decentralized, and even Biden maybe just said in the last couple weeks that this can't be done federally. We just don't have the power. It has to be done on a state-by-state basis, which is the beauty of the United States. But it's not the way they want to see the rest of the world unfold. They want to get rid of borders, boundaries, and just integrate mega-regions and mega-cities. That, I think, is the worldwide goal. And the only country really in the way is America because it's so different. But they've got it ready to collapse over the last 50 to even 100 years. Will it break into pieces? I just don't know. But I still think it's going to be the worldwide holdout. And if America falls, and there's really no indication that anything is off course and off schedule with this PSYOP, then so goes the rest of the world. I really don't see it as an American problem, but they are definitely being looked at for leadership. So I really hope America holds strong, but this is very powerful. Very, very powerful what's going on. But it's way bigger than just America. But I get a different view because I'm not in America. I'm looking from the outside in. So I get both views. Where I think Americans, even to this day, they still get everything in from American media. They don't really get much from the outside. So they really can't see beyond this even being a left-right problem, a liberal Democrat, a liberal Republican kind of scenario, but which it is not. I don't know if you view it the same way.
No, I don't think that we disagree, really. What I was trying to say is that in order to bring the Western world down and, mm-hmm. and basically the world down,
yeah.
If I'm on that side, the cabal side, I'm going to target America first.
Yes, yes, yes.
That makes sense. And then everyone else goes down. But I think that they haven't won. I think that there's a network of people around the world that are fighting. People like Ricardo Bossi in Australia, people like Viktor Orban in Hungary, I don't know who's fighting in New Zealand, but I think there's some people because I have some friends there.
Okay.
I don't know who's fighting in Canada, but it can't be that Ford guy because I think they've got him blackmailed to up the wazoo.
You got that right. You got that right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know all the, you know, I think Matteo Salvini in Italy is on the side of the light. I think that throughout the world that an alliance has been formed of people that want a free world.
Mm-hmm.
And that they've been working together. And I don't know all the names. Like I believe Salvini is a good guy. I believe Bossi is a good guy. I actually believe the president of Mexico right now is a good guy.
Yeah,
president
I agree.
Of Colombia is a good guy. Bolsonaro in Brazil, I think, is a good guy. I think all of these people are fighting, and it's necessary to have them fighting and trying to keep, you know, to keep the world afloat.
No, I think you're right. You've named quite a few names. Some of them I've never heard of. Because they don't get a lot of publicity. They don't want anyone to know what they're up to, what they're talking
about. Putin, by the way, I think he's a good guy. You know, he's fighting for his country. I follow his press conferences. I watch them. He does that twice a week, once a week.
Is that right? Interesting.
Yeah. If you go to, and you can tell that it's propaganda, but everything's propaganda. Usually it's negative propaganda, whatever country. It's basically, you suck. Are you white? You seriously suck. But if you look into, say, Russia Insider, it's propaganda. But it's the propaganda is that we need, like I watched his most recent speech to people was, and they were obviously planted questions, but it's fine because people have been brainwashed. Some guy gets up and says, what do you think about the West not knowing who's a man and who's a woman and not knowing and saying there's no such thing as a mother or a father? And Putin says, well, I believe there is such a thing as a man and a woman, and there's a mother and a father, and there's a family. And if the West wants to go a different way, let them do that. But let us honor our families, and let us honor our tradition, and honor our forefathers and our history.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard him say, and even China says that too.
China as well. Mm-hmm. China, you know, there's a war going on, a civil war going on, I believe, in China. I believe Xi is probably an ally. They don't want to see non-binary people as heroes. They want to make sure that their men look like men and their women look like women.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Call me old-fashioned, but I'm on board with that.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, 5 years ago, I would say, what the hell? Why do we care? Let people be who they are. But I see what the agenda is now. And I see China fighting against that. And I see Russia fighting against that. And Brazil, Bolsonaro in Brazil fighting against that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's very interesting. And is it great that we can get all this information if we choose to seek it out? And the fact that you watch Russian press conferences is great. Where before you would never, without the internet, you would never have access to that. And that's the beauty of it. If people use the internet properly, then they can get the other side of the story and really get a much better perspective other than the garbage propaganda that is pumped locally to us.
Is it called Yadis? That is the Russian. About 5 years ago, I read an article in Russia, in TASS, in the Russian press that said that Putin and the Russians were working on a whole different internet. And I was like, that's a good idea. And just in the past year or so, we're kind of getting indications that there is a whole, that the internet might go down and that a whole new internet might come up.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that we're going to be like all exposed to the disgusting porn and crimes that they've committed against people, but that maybe we're going to be exposed to real ideas and and other ways of thinking, which would be a great thing for the Western world. Anyway, so this is what I read about 4 years ago, that Russia had been working on it. I don't think Russia just... I don't think you just say stuff and then don't do it. I have respect for them. I think they do things slyly, and then they like, bam, here we go. There you go. So I often wonder if
Putin would... I know, you know, I think he was taught a lot in the London School of Economics. So, you know, the guy speaks perfect English. I just wish he would speak English just now and then.
I've heard him. Have you seen him speak English? I've heard him speak English. I've seen him. Have you seen the thing where he sings Blueberry Hill?
No.
He sings. It's very kind of cute. It's very cute. He sings.
If only he would just stop playing the enemy and just... He would just stop playing the enemy. He's playing his role in the world. But I'm pretty sure he speaks English.
Well, and how is he really playing the enemy? By defending his country?
Well, he's not really defending aggressively against, say, the Russian Trump whole BS story, which was absolute garbage. It would have been better if he could just speak in proper English, which I know he probably can, just to explain what was happening. All right, here we go.
I don't know. I think there are probably benefits to pretending that you don't understand English. I feel like NATO, UN, and the European Union... the U.S. have been truly the enemies of all of us. That's what I think.
I agree.
And I think that they have been trying to destroy Russia for at least 150 years. You know, President Lincoln and, let me think, which one was it? Tsar Nicholas?
Right.
They had a very good correspondence going on. Tsar Nicholas was concerned about... you know, freeing his serfs and trying to find a better life for them. And Lincoln had the same situation with we had slaves and trying to find out how do you transition. Because it's one thing to free the slaves, but then what? Same thing with the serfs. And they were corresponding back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And also during our revolution against Britain, people don't know, Russia actually aided us during our civil war. Russia, because people don't understand that Britain actually was supporting the South.
Mm-hmm.
Russia had ships near San Francisco and on the Atlantic coast, ready to aid if we needed it to keep our country together.
Mm-hmm.
They and Morocco are our oldest allies, the most dependable allies. People don't know it.
Interesting. Did you gather all this research just in the last few or 5 years that you were out of the furniture business?
Yeah, while I was selling sofas.
Right. Okay. While you were selling sofas.
No. I've been doing tons of research. I didn't learn shit in school.
No, none of us did. No, this is good.
But when you research it, I mean, someone says... did you know that, Russia actually came to your aid during not only the Revolutionary War, but the Civil War? And you're like, no. Most of what I know is because I got into an argument with someone online, and I said, that is bullshit. And they said, yeah, prove me wrong. And I went to prove them wrong, and I proved them right. So that's what I will say if I'm to toot my own horn. Is that most of what I've learned is when I was so sure of something and I was determined to prove someone wrong and I proved them right. And I changed my mind.
All right. Well, this has been a very interesting chat. I usually do my show Sunday to Thursday for about an hour. So we're over time, but it's been very interesting to say the least. And I think you found the right place, the Fakeologist server. This is where you can talk about just about anything and everything. And I think you'll find that most of the people on the server are at least close to your level. You seem at a very high level of awareness, which is great. And I hope you like it around here.
Thanks. I hope so, too. And I'm sorry if I talk too much.
No. That's only a female says is apologetic like that. None of the guys come on here and say, sorry, I'm talking too much. I don't think you have to worry about that. Well, that's just a polite thing that many females do, but you don't have to apologize, because if I found you boring, I would have interrupted you. All my listeners know that when I get bored or want to change the topic, I just start interrupting.
Okay.
But you're very interesting. I think we're going to have you back and just let everyone know that you just came to the Discord server, and we didn't prearrange this interview, and this is what can happen. This is what I like about it. We have so many new voices and interesting people that when you come here, I can dip into the Discord and see who's in one of the audio rooms, and we can turn a whole show into a whole, make a whole show out of it, which I think is the fun part of the whole thing. It's totally random and it's not planned. And I had no foreknowledge of what you knew. I didn't even know where you were from, and see how we had a really great, interesting conversation out of the whole thing.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm a little freaked out because it was not, I don't know. Who's listening to this? A couple people? I don't know. Have no idea. But
we had about 27 people live listening around the world.
How many?
Well, we had, I do a scheduled show around the same time. And usually live, we have anywhere from 5 people to, tonight was a high. We had about 27 live between YouTube and FakeoTube. Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, DLive. So this is pretty...
Okay, I can handle that.
This is pretty cool, but tomorrow this is going to be on FakeoTube, which is my video platform, and there'll probably be... Sometimes the shows get up to 1,000 views.
So oh, my God.
It does get... That's just me checking into yesterday's show.
You told me I wouldn't have rambled. I would have cleaned up my rambling.
for what? Like yesterday's show, there's 7 people watching the show from... Sorry, there's 12 people watching yesterday's show, and it's so far 300 views. And the one from 2 days ago is 700 views, and 7 people are watching that right now. So we do get some pretty good action, which is great.
Well, again, I wasn't expecting to be on any show. I was just chatting with a couple girls, and you popped in.
I know. I wanted to say, who is this new person on the block? Because actually there was another lady that logged in to the server. Her name used to be Sunny Peaches. So I actually wanted to see if she took the Sunny away and just shortened it to Peaches, but you're a different person.
Oh, man. What are we going to do then? I could be Mick Peaches. Mick.
No, she changed her name to, I think, another name. I can't remember it right off. Maybe Teresa. So it's okay. I think you can keep Peaches. It's not a problem. We can have 2 Peaches.
Someone told me that the name Peaches is like some men might get some idea. It's basically, I used to... foster dogs, mm-hmm. and I had names Peaches, Ginger, and I like Peaches as the name for a dog, so that's all it is.
Yeah, man, we do get ideas. Yeah, there's no doubt.
We
don't think about dogs,
mind.
Let's put it that way. But
just thought it was a cute little labradoodle that was like a peachy color, and I called her Peaches, so that's...
Yeah, well, as you know, men and women are wired totally differently. And we are wired for one boring reason, where women are much more multidimensional.
Yeah, some of the girls, very lovely girls, try to tell me, like, I'm like, what are you talking about? What could they be? It's Peaches. It's a cute dog name. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, us men, we never grow up. I think you ladies know that by now. But supposedly, that's what's kept the species alive all this time, up until now. And now, as they demasculate men and tell us we're not men, and the thing that's driven us to this point in time really was totally unnecessary. Now we can do everything in a lab, and we certainly don't need men to do all the dirty, nasty things they've done up until now.
You've kind of itemized some of the fights that we have ahead of us. I saw it I only stay on Facebook to see what they're trying to push to the masses, and suddenly queerty, QUEERTY, is mainstream news. There's no reason why I would be in a demographic that they would that I'd be in the algo for queerty, but the title was most straight people don't realize they're gay or something like that.
Of course.
And that's just sort of the part. And again, this is Facebook. It's just family and friends. People are like, why the hell are you on Facebook? It's like, because I got aunties and uncles and crap, and I keep up with people's birthdays. That's why I'm still on. But this is being advertised to me, and I swear to God, I have never looked up anything for gay stuff or whatever gay people look up. But this is being advertised to me, a heterosexual female.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
Everyone's
getting it. So it's being advertised
it.
To everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. I agree. Yeah, it's just too... And Miles Mathis really talks about it quite well. He just says it's Operation Destroy Family, Operation Anti-Men, Anti-White. It's just anti-tradition. The Yuri Bezmenov video, he also says it's just to get people right disoriented. And man, oh man, they're not relenting. They're not giving up at all. On every front, repetition, till you just don't have anything else left in your brain.
Hmm.
All right, well, I'll play out with Fats Putin playing his little Blueberry Hill piano solo. This is a good way to end the show.
Cool.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Well, thank you so much, Peaches, for joining. This was a surprise. This was a surprise, and tell all your friends and get them, the people that are interested in this kind of stuff, share the site, and let's keep this thing going. And definitely you'll have to come back and discuss more. And don't forget that you can join the audio chat, the live stream, and your voice will be recorded. And people love to hear those kind of conversations as well. Make sure you tell us more about what you know. Very interesting.
Well, thank you, Fakeologist. It's been an honor, and I do apologize to everyone if I've babbled or rambled too much.
Do not.
Y'all have a wonderful,
do wonderful... not apologize. It was fantastic. You did a great job.
Thank you. Y'all have a... Let's hope everybody has a fantastic 2022. Maybe we'll turn the corner.
I hope so.
Okay.
From Russia today.
All right, bless you then.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
your play. Love, sweet melody. But all your smiles we made were never to be.
I'll bring my